This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The smallness of means, the greatness of the aim, and stupendous results. If these three things are the marks of greatness, then who can compare anyone with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
To all mankind, you are a hero to all.
Every once in a while they do this. Like this.
So, I get directions from the way you lived your life.
When you put others first, you create an environment which is beautiful for everyone, including us.
You spoke with wisdom to everyone, you showed tenderness.
And so we would stop rushing to offer opinions and advice and to continue unearthing what our own inner conflicts are. That's where we are. Now let's make it easy.
This is Islam. This is Islam.
Muhammad, calm and brave. I have a dream to behold your face. Muhammad, my love.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. My brothers and sisters, before we go further, I'm going to just teach you a tool just now before we go into the eight different changes that we need to bring into our lives. I call these the eight switches, switching from one to the other. Before we go to that, let me quote for you something that one of the most famous European historians, this man was a historian, he was a poet, he was a writer, he was a philosopher, he was many things, and his name was Alphonse de Lamartine. Now he said a wonderful thing. He said that if the smallness of means, I want you to listen carefully, if the smallness of means, the greatness of the aim, and stupendous results. So he's talking about three things. He's saying smallness of means, the grandeur of the aim, the goal is, means is nothing or very little. The goal is huge, magnificent, and stupendous success, supreme success. He says if these three things are the marks of greatness, then who can compare anyone in modern history with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now this man is not a Muslim. He was not even known for his friendship of Islam. He was, as a matter of fact, quite a strong critic. And the reason I'm only quoting him because the praise of a critic is the most sincere praise. People who love you will praise you because they will overlook your faults and so on and so on. But if somebody who is your enemy, somebody who is a critic of yours, if he is saying good things about you, then obviously something is right, because that man is actually looking for faults. But if he cannot find the faults, it means that inshallah the faults are not there. And this was the nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now I'm going to teach you a tool called force field analysis. The reason I'm teaching you this tool is because, as I mentioned in the first session, the purpose of this workshop is to practice what we learn. It is not for increasing the amount of information you have. It is not in order to give you some technical terminology, some shara'i istilahat. It is not meant for you to give you some arguments which you can use in your own personal discussions and so on. None of that. The purpose of this workshop, my purpose of this workshop, is only one, which is that we practice what we learn. And in order to help you to practice what you learn, I want to first teach you a tool, a very simple tool, and then we will go into the actual lessons of what we need to learn. Now what I want, the way to do this tool is, whatever you want to practice, whatever you want to introduce, whatever change you want to bring about, you take a sheet of paper and in the middle of that, you write this change and write it as clearly as possible. So for example, do not say, I want to follow the sunnah. Don't say that, because that's not clear enough. Follow the sunnah means what? So specifically, instead of saying, I want to follow the sunnah, say, I want to pray all 5 salah in the masjid. That's a clear statement. And the reason why you must have a clear statement is because you can measure it. Am I doing it? Am I not doing it? If you say, I follow the sunnah, I want to follow the sunnah, then maybe you are practicing one thing in the sunnah, you are leaving out 10 things, but you are still following because there's one thing, that's not good enough. Don't write in the middle of the as a goal, I want to be a good person. No. Define that good person. Define that good person. Say, every day I want to do something charitable. Every day I want to give charity or do something charitable, which is not only giving money, maybe you are helping somebody, maybe you are taking care of somebody. Every day I want to do this. Now that is a clear goal. So in the middle of the sheet, you write this goal, the clear goal. Is it clear? Now, after that, on top, put these down arrows, and with the down arrows, each one of these, you write a negative force, which can stop you from doing that. So say for example, just as an example, say in the center of this sheet, you put the goal, I want to pray tahajjud every day. We know that tahajjud is the first salah that was given to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We know that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prayed tahajjud every single day of his life. We know the Sahaba did that. It's a beautiful sunnah. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala ordered us to pray tahajjud. The ayat from Suratul Muzammil, the ayat in Suratul Isra, the benefit of tahajjud which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentioned in Suratul Sajda, all of this. And Allah Subhanahu, therefore, it's a beautiful salah which we should all pray. So now you say in center of the thing, I want to pray tahajjud every day. Now when you do that, on the top, you write down the forces that may prevent you or currently which are preventing you from praying tahajjud. So for example, one force, staying awake too late. Obviously, if you don't go to sleep early, if you sleep at 2 o'clock in the night, then where is the time for tahajjud? If you sleep at 12 o'clock in the night, where is the time for tahajjud? So sleeping early, so waking, staying awake too late. Second one, eating a late dinner. So 10 o'clock in the night, you sit down and you eat all of this rice and all this food. Obviously, you cannot wake up in time for tahajjud. It will put you to sleep. Similarly, there may be other things, right? So this is your job to list the number of things on the top. You're going to put these which are keeping you from doing what you decided to do. Then below this, below the line, below the goal, you put these supportive forces, the positive forces. The top one, the negative forces, we call them the inhibitors. The bottom arrows, which are the positive forces, we call them the enablers. So in the enablers now, you say, what are the enablers? So in the enablers, for example, you might say, sleeping early, one. Number two, sleeping with wudu. So make wudu and then go to sleep. See this beautiful deen of ours, how easy it is. Rasulullah said, the one who makes wudu and goes to sleep, two benefits happen. One is, he said, every time he turns on during his sleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints angels to make dua for his forgiveness. So you are sleeping, you are fast asleep, you just turn around from this side to that side, Malaika are making dua for you to be forgiven. And the second benefit is, Rasulullah said that in the night, if for some reason you wake up, any dua you make at that time, Allah will accept it. So make wudu and sleep, and then before you sleep, make the niyyah. Whatever dua you really want to make, you want Allah to accept, make a niyyah for this dua and say, oh Allah, please wake me up in the night and make me, allow me to make this dua. Ud'uni astajib lakum. Allah said, ask me and I will give you. So make me the, allow me to make this dua, make this niyyah and sleep, inshallah. And when you wake up in the night, make this dua. Whatever dua you decided to make, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept this dua. So make wudu and sleep. Sleep early, make wudu and sleep. Third thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in tahajjud to read Quran, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. So make this niyat to say, Allah, teach me to read Quran, teach me to recite Quran nicely in tahajjud. Whatever are the positive forces. So you've got the goal in the center, you've got the negative inhibitory forces, inhibiting forces which might prevent you from achieving the goal. And at the bottom you have the positive forces, the enablers as I call them, which will help you to achieve the goal. This is the format that you have created on your sheet of paper. And then what you do is, you try your best to eliminate the negative factors, the inhibitors. So what must you do? Sleeping late is a negative factor. What must I do? Sleep early. Eating a late dinner is a problem. What must you do? Immediately after Maghrib, finish your dinner. Don't eat a huge amount of food in the night. It's bad for you. Lunch, eat a good lunch. Breakfast, eat a good breakfast. But in the night, try to keep it light. Try to keep it as little as possible in the night, because that is the way of waking up early in the morning. And so on. Set an alarm, for example. We might say, well, you know, after all this, I still fall asleep because I sleep very soundly. Alhamdulillah, you've got good. That is a good thing. But don't allow the good thing to become a problem. So therefore, you set an alarm and then you are going to be sure that you will wake up on time. So all of these forces, you work on this, inshallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, inshallah, grant you success. So force field analysis, we are looking at the two sides, the two forces, the forces of good and the forces of evil, the forces to help us and the forces which might hinder us. And we want to make sure that we support the good positive forces and we prevent the negative effect of the inhibiting forces. Is this clear? The tool itself? All right. And that's the sign for it. And then finally, at the end of each of the exercises, I am going to, at the end of each of the sections, I am going to ask you to do an exercise. And that exercise is here. Same exercise throughout for all the sections. And that exercise is, you're going to be looking at what are the things that you are currently doing which you must stop doing. What are the things that you currently do or currently do not do which you must start doing? And what are the things that you are doing currently but and which you should now continue to do consciously and consistently? So this is the exercise, start, stop, continue. I'm going to ask you to do that for each one of the sections, for each of the learnings that we come up with. Is it clear? So I just wanted to introduce the tools to you before we go forward, inshallah. The first of the 8 factors that we need to change in our lives, to bring our lives on par and on, not on par, but in keeping with the life of Rasulullah, is to look at our own personal attitude towards life. And that is to move from thinking of yourself and acting as if you are the king, to understanding that you are not the king, but that you are the representative of the king. You are a vicegerent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He decided to send Adam alayhi salam on the earth, when He decided to send human beings onto the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Allah did not say, Inni ja'ilun fil ardi malik. Allah did not say, I'm sending onto the earth a king. Allah said, I'm sending onto the earth a vicegerent, a representative, a governor. Khalifa can be translated in many ways. Now, what is the difference? What is the difference between the king and the Khalifa? You know, in the Quran we have the case of Firaun, Ramesses IV, who was the Firaun of Musa alayhi salam. We have his case where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this man, he said, Ana Rabbukumul A'la. He said, I am the Rabb and I am the greatest. Now think about this, put yourself in this position. Supposing you went to the Pharaoh of Egypt and you said to him, Mr. Firaun, and if you said that to him, you would probably die because that's not the way to address the king, he would have killed you. So you had to call him by whatever names, right? And then if you asked him and you said, you know what, you are saying, Ana Rabbukumul A'la, you are saying you are God. So tell me, did you create the sun? What do you think he would have said? No. Did you create the moon? No. Did you create this Nile? You know, you have this nice palace waterfront with the Nile. Did you create the Nile? Can you make the water in the Nile go up and down? Can you dry it out? Can you bring it out? Then how are you the king? Then how are you God? What do you think he would have said? He would have said, I am God because my order supersedes everything else. Because my word is law. If I say that this will happen, it will happen. There is no good and bad as far as I am concerned. Whatever I say will happen. Whatever I say is good. Whether it is itself good or bad, doesn't matter. I don't care. I will do whatever I want to do. After all, he is the one who ordered the male children of the Bani Israel to be slaughtered. Now tell me, in which religion, in which culture, in which frame of reference, is it permissible or a good thing to slaughter a newborn baby? Nobody does that, right? I mean, this is, nobody can say it, but the Pharaoh did it. Ramesses IV ordered it, and thanks to his order, literally thousands of babies were killed. Did anybody criticize him? Did anybody say this is wrong? No. Why? Because my word is law. Whatever I want, I will do. Now you might say, well, you know, this is fine, but how does it apply to us? Because you are not ordering any babies to be killed. So how does it apply to us? It applies in the nature of the thing. And what is the nature of the thing? My word is law. In the case of Pharaoh, he was talking about the whole of Egypt. In your and my case, we are talking about ourselves. We are talking about our homes. We are talking about our social life. We are talking about our environment, our organizations, our group of friends. What I say will happen. Somebody says, I am having this wedding. I am celebrating my daughter's wedding. So I am going to have this fantastic party in this 5-star hotel. And I am going to have this, this lady who will come and she will sing this song and so on. And we are going to have this orchestra and we'll have this music. And all of this song, and somebody says, excuse me, hello, hold on. First of all, this is your daughter's wedding. Why are you spending money in that? Because in Islam, the parents of the daughter, they don't spend money. The boy, the groom has to bring the mahar, and he has to give the mahar, and he has to, the nikah is performed, then he takes her home, and then he is the one who pays for the walima. At the most, you might say, as the father of the bride, because I am also inviting my friends, I would like to share in the cost of the walima. This is fine, but you can't say that I want a party. There's no party, there's no expense on the father, mother of the bride. So how are you doing this? You say, no, I don't care, all this Islam and method, no. This is my wish. Well, what about the wish of Allah? My wish. And then you say, well, you know, okay, your wish, first of all, the party itself is wrong. On top of that now, you have got this singing and dancing and you have got all this. La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. This is not permissible in Islam. No. Sorry. We are modern people. All of this is old-fashioned stuff. Keep it in your home. Right? We will do it. Yeah, Sheikh, how will you do this? My wish. Does it happen? Does this thing happen? In my country, it happens plenty. Believe me, our Muslims are all famous for this.